Well, they're at it again, aren't they? Who's they? Who am I talking about? Well, the Pharisees, and more broadly, the elites of the Jewish elites. They're always trying to ensnare Jesus. They're trying to get him, right? They're trying to stick it to Jesus. And even at this later stage in Christ's public ministry, so we're getting close to the end of Matthew's gospel now, they still think they can outsmart him after being thwarted so many times. But of course, they get the same results. Humble pie. They get a good dose of humble pie, don't they? They do every time. If only they would get over themselves and just love and appreciate him for who he is. How different their lives would be, right? Now, in this particular instance, it's the Pharisees who seek to entrap Jesus regarding the legitimacy of paying taxes to the Roman authorities. Once again, though, he turns their trickery over on its head and gives them something they aren't expecting at all. Repay to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, the Lord says, and to God what belongs to God. So it's not a shell game after all. That's kind of what they're getting at, right? It's either God or the secular authorities. But Jesus is saying no. No. It's not as if people should either respect the secular authorities or God. Both should be respected, but appropriately, and only in the measure that they are due. That's key, only in the measure that they are due. Secular authority often brings about much good, many great benefits in the society. We talk about the common good, right? And we are meant to be thankful for this reality and to help to contribute towards sustaining those benefits to the extent that they agree with God, his commandments, his teachings. If they don't, then we have to pull back, right? But in many cases, they do help promote the common good. But as Jesus teaches us, we can't stop there with just working with the secular authority, respecting it to the extent that it agrees with the Lord. No, we have to go a step further and also repay to God what belongs to God, right? And what belongs to him? Everything. That's what belongs to him. Everything. Caesar, the secular authorities, okay, they get their little trinkets. Everything belongs to God. He has given us everything we have, including the benefits that come from secular authorities. And he grants this very authority. It's only there because he either allows it or he specifically installs it, as we see in the case in the first reading with Cyrus, this Persian king who's not a Jew at all, but the Lord chooses to use him as an instrument in his plan of salvation. And so our response to this greatness, this goodness, this generosity of the Lord should be to give him everything back each day as a sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. Such a response will bring liberation from attachment to worldly things as you're drawn out of yourself and deeper into relationship with the only one who can truly fulfill you and make you happy. So it isn't a burden to repay what belongs to God, as our world will often tell us. No, it's the best way to live, and it's the very path to salvation. It's a beautiful gift. Paradoxically, by losing yourself to God, you will find your true self and be led to flourishing as he amazes you and transforms you into the saint that he originally created you to be. This is marvelous news, right? It truly is. The psalmist gets it, and so as we see, the psalmist crying out in today's responsorial, "Sing to the Lord a new song. Tell his glory among the nations. Great is the Lord and highly to be praised. Awesome is he." Awesome is he. Such praise and thanksgiving open up the human heart to receive more and more of the boundless gifts that God seeks to lavish upon each and every one of us. By doing so, you will sing a new song as he increasingly transforms you. When we hear this often in the Psalms and occasionally elsewhere in the Old Testament, sing a new song doesn't mean, okay, I pick up the hymnal and learn a new song. It means singing a new song with your life, living differently every day than you did the previous day, deeper and deeper in relationship with the Lord. That's what it means. Allowing him to transform the world through you. That's what we're talking about, sing a new song. And this is the very same work of faith and labor of love and endurance in hope of our Lord Jesus Christ that St. Paul is talking about in today's second reading. Note the theological virtues here that he's touching on, faith, hope, and love, so beautifully. And as you sing this new song, you will grow in faith and trust in the Lord more and more. Then naturally his works will be the fruits of this faith, and you will labor in the very love of God for other people and endure in hope against the difficulties that will inevitably come about. This is how we become that Eucharistic people that he created us to be, friends. By, first of all, having that faith in the Lord, allowing him to bring about the fruits of that faith through us, and then laboring in the love of God for others, and enduring in the hope that he's going to continue to nurture us and strengthen us, redeem us. That's the life we're called to live. Now, it's not going to be an easy path by any means, but again, it is the best path. And remember from last week, one of St. Paul's most beautiful one-liners, I can do all things in him who strengthens me, right? In him who strengthens me. And he always wants to strengthen you, always. So yes, friends, we should spend our time thanking and praising God for welcoming us into the blessed life he has laid out for each and every one of us, marveling at his amazing love and generosity, rather than, like we so often see with the Pharisees, being suspicious of him and testing him and even begrudging him for all of the troubles in our lives, trying to blame him. After all, we bear his image, not Caesar's, right? His image. So it only makes sense to give ourselves to him, not to the world, to welcome all that he desires for us instead of indulging ourselves in the worldly desires that will never fulfill us, or even indulging in the letter of the law like the Pharisees classically do, instead of indulging ourselves in relationship with the Lord. Now, today would have been St. John Paul II's feast day, October 22nd, but it's superseded by Sunday. Nevertheless, couldn't help but pull a quote out from him that's very apropos for what we're talking about here. So the saint says, one of my great heroes here, such a wonderful, wonderful saint, we are not the sum of our weaknesses and failures, which we kind of think that when we're chasing after worldly desires, right? We look at ourselves in worldly terms. We are not the sum of our weaknesses and failures. We are the sum of the Father's love for us and our real capacity to become the image of his Son, Jesus. How beautiful is that? This is what it means to repay to God what belongs to God, to become that image of his Son and giving all to him, just as his Son, Jesus, gave all to him on behalf of us. Yes, to give everything to him is the path to flourishing, to the glorious freedom of the children of God that vastly surpasses any worldly notions of freedom. No doubt, though, this path will lead you straight to the cross. Guaranteed, no doubt about it. But remember that we can only get to the resurrection through the cleansing and liberating, purifying power of the cross. Sisters and brothers, the Lord always wants to give you more. Nevertheless, as the world often says, oh, he's going to confine you. That's hogwash. He always wants to give you more, offering you far more than you can ever imagine. If only you and I would just say yes. It's all we have to do, and he'll take care of the rest. Now let us conclude with the beautiful prayer over the offerings you'll hear in just a few moments as we get into the liturgy of the Eucharist. And it really encapsulates all that we're reflecting on here so beautifully. Grant us, Lord, we pray, a sincere respect for your gifts, that through the purifying action of your grace, we may be cleansed by the very mysteries we serve.